All right, this meeting of the Becker County Board of Adjustments is called to order. My name is Mike Sharp, and I will be chairing this evening's meeting. I would ask that the rest of the committee members introduce themselves, starting on my left.
Larry Knutson, Member at Large.
Greg Meyer from District 2.
Dell King from District 1.
Craig Hall, Member at Large.
Nikki Bradbury, Becker County Planning and Zoning.
Briefly go over the protocol for this evening's meeting. We'll start off with the appellates. We will present their appeal. Sufficient time will be given to those wishing to speak. After all comments, the administrative staff will then read any written correspondences not in our packets. Then we will close testimony and the board will deliberate on the appeal request. The duties of the Board of Adjustment are quasi-judicial in nature and twofold. One, to hear and decide requests for variances from the county's official control, and two, to hear and decide appeals and review administrative decisions relating to the county's official control. All decisions of the Board of Adjustment in granting or denying shall be final, except that any person shall have the right to appeal the decision within 30 days to district court. Questions regarding the appeal process can be discussed with administrative staff after the hearing. At this time, I would ask that everyone present will please silence or shut off your electronic devices, and we will continue. So first item under our agenda will be to hear the appeal from the appellates. So we have Tammy Norgaard here. I guess you can proceed.
Okay, thank you so much. I'm Tammy Norgaard. I'm a lawyer with the Vogel Law Firm. I've been assisting a number of landowners that are in the area of this subdivision, gravel mine, land alteration permit that's located generally kind of between Pelican Lake and Cormorant Lake. And at issue in front of you, we have another appeal where we have appealed the issuance of a conditional use permit for a gravel mining operation, and that's pending in district court, so that's not before you. But there is some interrelation that I'll be talking about on why your decision tonight is going to be very important to make the right decision on this in accordance with the law. And the issue before you is whether an August 4th land alteration permit was issued appropriately on August 4th. And so it's looking at the time that that was issued, whether it was issued appropriately. And our argument, very simply, this isn't a complex argument. The argument is you have to follow the ordinance. Okay? The planning director has to follow the ordinance. And in this case, the ordinance was not followed. And this land alteration permit was issued prematurely before any other approvals were given. And you can't issue a land alteration permit until you have a valid CUP or a valid subdivision approval. And in this case, it preempted it. And the reason that my clients are upset by it is because this the planning director issued this land alteration permit the day before the gravel mine conditional use permit hearing before the county board. And there would be no reason for the planning director to preemptively issue this land alteration permit that's subject to nothing. You just decided administratively, ministerially, it's an over-the-counter permit. You walk up to the counter and say, hello, can I please have this land alteration permit? Here's the paperwork of what I want to do. Sure. He issues it to them without any county decision on whether the subdivision or the gravel mine is appropriate. And the reason that's important is because the very next day when we were in the county board hearing, and I was here and most of my clients were here, the issue was, you know, the county board was waffling on whether they should or shouldn't issue this. The gravel mining permit, well, first I'm gonna ask you to look at I attached as Exhibit A, the land alteration permit, and the very next page is a construction plan. And so I just want to make sure that you kind of have in mind what the two different countervailing issues are in this case. And I just kind of hand wrote on this that that crosshatched area is 70 acres, and that 70 acres is where there now has been a preliminary plat for a subdivision. Okay, and that 70 acres, if you go back to page 8 of 18, it'll show you, and I'll just hold this up, what this page looks like. It's kind of an oval that shows roads, and that's the preliminary plat in the 70 acres. Okay, so this is all that was at issue in the subdivision, is 70 acres. If you go back to this map that I had handwritten on, the crosshatched area is the 70 acres, that's the subdivision. But immediately on top of that and a little bit to the right, I put an asterisk and said, this is the 20 acres where there's the gravel mining CUP. Okay, this was all one parcel with a parcel identification number from the county, but it was intentionally and artificially separated by the developer in this case. And the developer only wanted to have 20 acres being the gravel mine operation. And really what he's said is there's a lot of gravel there. I can't really build any lots up there unless I take all that gravel out. And so I want to take the gravel out and I might as well sell it if I'm taking the, or taking the rock out, I might as well, I want to sell it. And so I need a CUP to take that gravel out and sell it. But he separated it and he didn't do the full 90 acres because he also, in my materials, in my briefing materials, I show an example of where they have shown that they intend to do 90 acres, but they're segmenting it. And that's on page 8 of my written materials. And you can see what their planned subdivision is. And that's the 70 acres on the bottom. That's kind of a teardrop. And then on top is another 20 acres. It's kind of an L-shaped area where they want to do the gravel mining. And the reason this is important is because in that 20 acres, that gravel mine, my clients had petitioned for an environmental assessment worksheet. And what that means is you have to really look at if you're impacting people nearby, if you're adversely affecting anything in the human environment, meaning noise, vibration, silt, dirt, you know, backup equipment, backup alarms. Because this gravel mine is 100 feet from one neighbor's house and 200 feet from another neighbor's house. And they intentionally kept that at 20 acres because if you hit 40 acres, you have to do full-blown mandatory environmental review. And so they're trying to be really creative and just do the 20 acres. And they're saying it's entirely separate from that 70 acres at the bottom. But you can see with my diagram on page 8 that shows they intend to do the full 90, but they're segmenting it to try to kind of slip through the environmental regulations. And that decision in July by the county board was a 3-2 decision not to issue an EAW. So that was the decision of the county board. But I just want to have you vividly in mind that there's two things going on here. And this land alteration permit, it says, so on Exhibit A, the land alteration permit on the front of it, it says the area to be excavated and says see construction drawing from Apex. Area to be filled, see construction drawing from Apex. And so I attached all of the construction drawings that show only road building on the 70 acres. Doesn't have anything to do with the 20 acres of the gravel mining, right? So anything you look through, that's why I kind of drew your attention to page 8 of 18 to show you that picture of, hey, yeah, here's what we're intending to do here. This picture is like, this is what we're intending to affect, and it shows the areas that are going to be cut out, and it shows the areas that are going to be filled, and the road that's going to be built, So they're trying to flatten out the lots as they're, you know, allowed to do. Just flatten out the lots and build a road. 70 acres, that's all that is allowed by this land alteration permit. And I don't think there's any doubt, there's no evidence in the record that there was a plat approval before August 4th. There was no plat approval when this land alteration permit was issued. And so it was just issued as if the planning and zoning director can say, you know what, wow, this is a great idea for a subdivision. Hey, why don't you go get your bulldozers out and start just bulldozing? Oh, the township hasn't even seen this yet. The county hasn't seen it yet. The county board hasn't seen it. But I'm going to give you, Mr. Developer, a permit to get your bulldozers out there, and you can start digging up your road today. Does that make any sense to you? No, right? Because the planning and zoning director's job is to do over-the-counter type permits, ministerial, non-discretionary acts, things that are clearly allowed by your ordinances. When there's a decision to open a gravel mine or to permit a subdivision, those are discretionary decisions that deserve the input and have the input and decision by the county. And in the case of subdivisions, the township, and this township has zoning authority. And so the township has to approve it and the county has to approve it. It is not the whim of the director to bring his pen down on this land alteration permit and say, you, Mr. Developer, you go up there, you go ahead and you start digging up a road, create a road. Or if you're looking at it, I think what the real issue here is this land alteration permit is only limited to the 70 acres. And it was prematurely issued because you can't issue it until the subdivision is approved. Okay, and the reason this is important is because August 4th, this gets issued. The very next day, we're here talking to the county board about whether there should be a gravel mining CUP. And there's a lot of debate back and forth. It's too close to houses. The MPCA didn't even chime in on it. They didn't have anybody available. And so the board was kind of uncomfortable making a decision. Well, that's when your planning and zoning director said, you know, if you guys want to put any controls on this at all, you need to have a conditional use permit. If you want to limit the months, if you want to limit the days of operation, if you want to limit the hours of operation, you better grant this conditional use permit and put those conditions on it. Otherwise, the developer already has a land alteration permit and he can go out there today and start excavating the gravel. He can start doing the mining himself, he just can't sell it. That is what your planning and zoning director told the county board. And then the county board ultimately said, well, okay, we need some controls on it. So they put very limited hours, very limited excavation times, limited it not to happen during the summer because, you know, of any kind of recreational ownership, seasonal ownership out there, like to hopefully not bother them as much. We argued against all that. Your planning and zoning director said, if the developer just wanted to crush all the gravel for their own purposes, they don't even need your CUP. They could just do it based on my land alteration permit. I objected to it saying that's not the case. Your attorney said we didn't have Wi-Fi at the time. There was no Wi-Fi in here. She couldn't get Wi-Fi. She couldn't look at the ordinance. So I don't know. And so we objected on the record. And the board said, well, we need to put some constraints on this, so I guess we better issue the CUP. We appealed that, and that's on appeal. But the issue, the issuance of this is so important. Like, I am not disputing that today, if you vacate this, tomorrow the developer can come back in and say, hey, I want a land alteration permit because my subdivision got preliminary plat approval on that 70 acres. And I would tell you, I'm not going to fight that because the ordinance, and I cited it in my materials, but it's so important. And it's in Chapter 8, Section 3. And it's your general review standards that apply to all permits and subdivisions, okay? So these are your standards, Chapter 8, Section 3 of your ordinances. These are the standards that apply with either conditional use permits or subdivisions. And what it says under C is land alteration standards. And it says land alterations pursuant to a permit, like a conditional use permit or a subdivision approval, that are issued under this ordinance shall be subject to the following. And it says they have to be incidental to permitted or conditional uses. Okay, incidental to, subject to, under. So once the county says, all right, here's a gravel mine, you can have a gravel mine. Here's a CUP for gravel mine. Once the county says your subdivision is approved, then and only then can your planning director be standing at his counter and say, yes, you can start excavating according to all the plans that Apex put together, because your planning director wants to see those plans in the subdivision. What are you going to excavate? What roads are you going to build and where? Has the preliminary plat been approved? Yes, it has. Okay, if it's been approved, then your planning director can issue a land alteration permit. But the only important language for you guys today is that language in your ordinance that says the land alteration standards. It says that the general land alteration standards can only be issued incident to permitted or conditional uses. And then it says land alterations shall not be allowed unless the use is incident to a permitted and conditional use and does not adversely affect adjacent and nearby properties. That is the only time that your planning director can issue a land alteration permit. And that's what hasn't been followed in this case. I've gone through the interplay with, you know, the subdivision, and I think what probably your planning director was implying to the county board incorrectly, is to say this land alteration permit includes that 20 acres. They could go out there and start digging that rock out today after I issued this yesterday. Why would he issue it yesterday? Why would he issue it the day before a very controversial argument and decision at the county board level? Clearly, the planning director was trying to affect the outcome. Otherwise, any smart public official that is serving at the pleasure of the county board would want to see what does the county board want to do with this before I issue my land alteration permit. That's not what happened in this case. In this case, it was a premature issuance and then walking in saying, well, pretending, right? Pretending that this applied to that north 20 acres, because it doesn't. And that's why I started this discussion with, you have to understand this map that's attached. And this map, this land alteration permit, only applies to that southern 70 acres. There's no indication on any of the land alteration permit that shows it would have any impact on that northern 20 acres at all. And yet, your planning director went on and on in front of the county board to say they can start that gravel mining operation tomorrow. And there's no doubt that the gravel mining operation permit, the CUP for the gravel mine, was only the 20 acres. And they were so careful about that. And that's where I have, it's paragraph 13A1. In exhibit B is the conditional use permit that was issued by the county. And so I just highlight, it's on page 4. It says paragraph 13. And it's 13A1, and it says Prairie Lake's proposed mining operations will occur on approximately 20 acres of this parcel. And it recognizes the total parcel is 90 acres and irregularly shaped, but this is only the northernmost 20 acres. And that's what I'm highlighting. And that last sentence says the remaining 70 acres to the south are not subject to the project proposal or otherwise proposed to be included in the mining. Okay, so I'm just like pointing you to the record that clearly distinguishes that the CUP for the gravel was only that 20 acres. And your planning director went on and on about how the developer can go out there tomorrow and start digging all that rock up, and because of this land alteration permit, which was a total misstatement to the county board. All right, so when you look at what the law says, is you have to strictly review the language of your ordinance, and you have to strictly apply the language of your ordinance. And I have a case that that I just want to point you to if you have a chance to review it, or if your attorney is going to have the chance to review it. And it's called a Moeller case. And in that case, it's a Moeller versus St. Louis Park. And it's kind of an interesting case because the Supreme Court in Minnesota says, well, you know, is this something that's an over-the-counter permit that should be allowed with no public oversight? You know, in that case, what I'll tell you is that the city planner issued a building permit for a garage, and the garage was 24 feet high. The city ordinance said I think it was 16. It was, in any event, that the planning director issued a permit that was against the law, shouldn't have been issued. And so, you know, this case is very convoluted. The neighbor sued, and then there was a question about whether the city could issue a variance later when they realized, oh, we screwed up, but shouldn't the landowner be allowed to rely on the fact that we screwed up, city screwed up, city planner screwed up, he told them wrong, and they're already building, and is that a hardship? Let's issue a variance. And the court said, you can't issue a variance. It doesn't meet the standards for a variance. You have to follow your ordinance. And so ultimately in this case, I think there's some language that's really good, but basically the Supreme Court says, you know, the director just misunderstood the ordinance, or intentionally, or misunderstood, I'm assuming it's misunderstood. But what the Board of Adjustment In that case, was instructed by the Supreme Court, as a Board of Adjustment shall consider the strict application of your ordinance. And in this case, you know, the neighbor was entitled to say they can't have a 24-foot garage if only 16 feet is allowed, because the ordinance doesn't allow it. And it's unfortunate that the city screwed up in their reading of the ordinance, but it shouldn't be allowed. And my point in citing to the Moeller case versus St. Louis Park is just to underscore that the Supreme Court of Minnesota will tell you your job as a Board of Adjustment is strictly reading the language of your statute or your ordinance. And in this case, your ordinance is very clear that, you know, if it's an over-the-counter permit that they can issue, you know, if they have the authority to issue, that's one thing. This is not that type of permit. This is a permit that only is issued only after the county has spoken on a conditional use permit or on a subdivision permit, and neither of those happened in this case. So it's kind of the difference between the ministerial acts, and I would think that all of you are going to agree. I mean, what the planning director said to the county board is, hey, I can issue a land alteration permit, and basically anybody anywhere in the county can open a gravel mine as long as they don't sell the gravel. Does that make any sense? You don't know. I mean, when gravel mines are so controversial that if it's 40 acres, you have to have a mandatory EAW, and, you know, getting like the DNR involved, getting the MPCA involved, is that something that your planning director here can say, well, as long as you don't sell the gravel, I get to say you can open a 40-acre gravel mine and just use it for your own purposes? You know, it just makes no sense. It's an absurd result. And that's another case, the Wagner versus Cass County case. It's a Minnesota Supreme Court from 1993. In the Supreme Court said, if the interpretation would lead to an absurd result, you can't uphold that. And that's where, if the planning and zoning director in this case, if his interpretation is correct, that he gets to decide all this, and he can decide where to put a gravel mine, or a subdivision for that matter, let somebody go dig a bunch of gravel out and create roads for something that will never get developed and maybe will never be subject to an actual passed subdivision plat approval. It makes no sense. It's absurd that a planning director would have that kind of authority, because simply they don't. And I've given you the ordinance and the language in your ordinance that makes it very clear that they do not have that authority on their own. The legal standard for you to review is, you know, was this an arbitrary decision by the planning and zoning director? Is this arbitrary? Is it arbitrary and capricious? Is it not in accordance with the law? Or is it unreasonable? And I would tell you it's all of those things. Those are the three things that, you know, arbitrary and capricious, not consistent with the law, and unreasonable. And it's all of those. And so this needs to be vacated. In short order, it's absolutely unreasonable. I also want to point out that, and I included in my argument, a reference to the county board hearing, which is on video, and I gave you the exact time if you pulled it up and watched it, and I don't know if you've had a chance to watch that yet, but the planning director's father is a county commissioner, and he's on tape in that hearing. And he's talking about the fact he's a septic system installer, and he uses some class 5, he uses some gravel and septic system installation, and he's talking about the need for gravel and how important gravel is. Yep, we need a lot of gravel. And he said, and I quote, he said, when I go to Lake Lida or Ida, now I'm not going to have to go to Richwood to get my rock. This is huge. This is great. You know, so he's identifying a financial benefit. He's talking about the financial benefit of having a gravel operation in this area. Him personally. And then you have his son making these decisions, issuing permits the day before that hearing to sway the vote of the county board. And that's where I'm raising the conflict of interest issue, that your planning director should not have been involved, should not have touched this. And the other thing is, the developer in this case used to be a long-term planning commissioner who just got off the board in order to be able to propose this development, because you can't propose a development as a sitting planning commissioner. And so there's obviously a long-term relationship there. And my concern here is that it really does seem like somebody's playing pretty fast and loose with how to work their way through this. You know, only do 70 acres, don't do the full 90 acres now. Because if we're going to do 90 acres and take that rock out and try to sell it, it's going to trigger a mandatory EAW. And so they're playing awfully cute with your ordinances, saying, we'll just do the gravel pit in the north 20, we'll just do the subdivision in the south part. And yet at the hearing on the gravel pit, the developer was saying, well, I don't do gravel mines. I'm not a gravel specialist at all. I just want to be a developer, and I've never been a developer either. And so I'm just starting out on my own here and trying to be a developer. And so he's basically saying, yeah, you know, I'm trying to make some money here. And we argued, we said, you know what, make your money on this 70-acre subdivision, but it's not appropriate. If it means that you can't put your lots in that 20 acres like you want them to, because he wants to put a bunch of lots up there in that 20 acres, can't do it with the rock there, so he has to take it out. And our point is, you know what, maybe you can't develop that 20 acres. And with the value that they paid for this 90 acres, and they've already sold 10 and made back a lot of that money, and they're making a lot of that money back here. It's a financial decision, and we're all for people making money and being entrepreneurial. No problem with that, until it comes to a point where you're trying to open a gravel mine within 100 feet of somebody's house or 200 feet of somebody's house. It's not the appropriate location for a gravel mine, which is an argument for another day in the district court. But I'm just emphasizing to you the full picture of what's going on here. And I think that the fact that this land alteration permit got issued the day before that hearing says a lot about what was going on here today, or that day. And I really hope that you're understanding that, and understanding that somebody's playing a little too fast and loose with your ordinance and taking, and I think your planning and your planning director vastly exceeded his authority and acted in violation of a conflict of interest. And so I'm here to ask you tonight to vacate the land alteration permit. I'd like you also to identify that there's a conflict of interest, and so your planning and zoning director shouldn't be involved in, you know, anything further on this issue. If there's anything that's issued subject to a gravel mining operation, since his father already identified that he's got a financial benefit from any gravel mining operation, but that's not before you today. The gravel mining operation is just this land alteration permit that's for the subdivision. And with that, I'll ask if there's any questions.
Are you represented by counsel at all?
I believe
do we
Brian
have our
has
attorney's opinion on this. Or?
Yeah, I think Brian has reviewed everything, because obviously this has come before us before, and we voted to approve with stipulations. So, I don't know.
The Planning Commission.
Correct.
Right.
Correct.
not this board.
Right.
You're referring to some board.
Yeah. But it came to the Planning Commission, and I know Brian has reviewed it.
But the point is the land
this legal
permit.
Issue.
Right.
The legal the issue that you're considering today. It's not the project. It's the legal issue and the legal sufficiency of your land alteration permit. That's the only thing that's before you. And I assume that you would have legal counsel providing some input. You have 15 days to decide this. So it's not like you have to make a decision tonight. If you have any questions, I'm happy to send those cases and those citations to your legal counsel if the county attorney is going to be the one that you're asking for advice on it.
Mr. Chair, I do have a question, and I'm not sure you'll want to answer it, but how does this affect your suit or your objection to the you're objecting to the conditional use permit?
Right.
You're using this as evidence, I assume.
It will be, absolutely.
Correct.
It's one
but
of the
how
factors.
Does that, how does that affect that? Can you tell me what you're looking for here?
Well, we'll see how, we haven't even had a hearing in front of the judge yet on that. But the difference is, when the county board was sitting there, and there's five of them, ultimately on a 3-2 vote, when they were swayed by the fact that your planning and zoning director was saying, hey, if you don't approve this conditional use permit, they're gonna be out there digging tomorrow anyway. They can get their bulldozers out there tomorrow and start digging within 100 feet or 200 feet of the neighbors tomorrow. And they can, you know, 5 a.m. to midnight, every day of the week, there's no restrictions, no conditions on it. And if you want conditions on it, boy, you better put conditions on it, because this, otherwise this is their green light 24/7, they can do whatever they want. And I thought that was particularly offensive because he signed it the day before, right? He signed it the day before, and then he's saying, wow, you guys better be nervous about this. Boy, you better do something about this. Otherwise, boy, they can go out there and just do whatever they want. And it just gives you additional. So as it relates to the conditional use permit on gravel mining, it's another reason why we're going to tell the court that it's arbitrary and capricious that the county board decided to allow the gravel mine where they did, because they were relying on faulty legal advice and zoning advice. And what is the significance of this land alteration permit? What they were told by their planning director and zoning director is completely untrue. And it's contrary to law. And so when the standard to turn something over is arbitrary and capricious, is not consistent with law, and is unreasonable, okay, that advice is not consistent with law. And so what that would do is it would turn it back and have the county board consider it without that threat. I mean, it was basically a threat. If you don't do this, then they're going to be out there and there's no constraints. And these poor neighbors that are there, nobody's going to protect them if you don't protect them today. I'm embellishing, of course, but that's the tenor of the comments that were made, and why the county was being, you know, pleaded with that you must act or else these poor people are going to be subject to midnight gravel mining. I don't know. I'm just, again, embellishing, but that's the point.
But it is in the ordinance that extractive use, it says the removal of sand, gravel, stone, clay, coal, peat, subsoil, topsoil, or mineral from the land for sale. So if they're not planning to sell it, if they're going to use it on that land, and going back to when the Planning Commission first met with a lot of the people that were here, they all had said at the time, our objection is the sale of the product. They did not want to see those trucks going up and down the road. If it was to be used on the property for developing the road, there wasn't the objection. The neighbors that were right next door had said, no, we're fine with it if it's used on that property. So now I'm kind of questioning, now why are you coming back when they originally had said, and part of it, this is why we put the restrictions in at the Planning Commission, saying, okay, we're trying to listen to what you're saying, knowing the new comp plan was just built. It was just completed. That is where the development is going. All those homes that are around there are all new construction. They've been built as well in the last 10, 20 years. So if they're not, if we're separating out, like you said, you've got the lawsuit over the 20-acre gravel mine. But if we're not talking about that, we're just talking about basically the building of the road and the 70 acres. I'm questioning as to why the turmoil, because if it's not for sale, what is the issue?
Well, that is exactly what was told to the county the county board on August 5th, is I think your planning and zoning director kept looking at section 5, and he's like, oh, this only applies if it's for sale, right? So if it's not for sale, like, if it's for sale, you guys, county board, gets to decide where the gravel mine goes. But if it's not for sale, I get to decide where it goes. That's basically what he's saying. That if it's not for sale, the county doesn't have a say in it. But you know what? That's what he read with Section 5. He forgot to read Section 3, Chapter 8, Section 3. Planning director didn't read that. That's what I am telling you. That's what is in my argument. That's what I started my presentation with you on, and that is the general review standards that apply to all permits and subdivisions. And it's that any time there's earth moving, right, of a certain amount, you need to get a land alteration permit. And for this amount of land to be unearthed, it has to be subject to a permit or a conditional use permit or a subdivision. That's the key. It has to be issued pursuant to a conditional use permit or a subdivision control. And what I'm saying is, if they come in tomorrow and say, I want a land alteration permit for the subdivision for 70 acres, no problem. I'm not going to argue. I'm not going to be here fighting about that. But I am fighting about this, because this is what was issued before anything was approved. And it was argued to be why you have to approve the gravel mine when it had nothing to do with it. It's deception. It's deceit. And it was not authorized by the law. And that's where I'm citing the Minnesota Supreme Court that says you, as a board of adjustment, have to strictly apply your ordinances. And your ordinances in Chapter 8, Section 3, Subdivision C, says land alterations pursuant to a permit or subdivision approval have to be incident to permitted or conditional uses. That's it. And they can't adversely affect the adjacent or nearby properties. That's, you have to have that. That's where this doesn't have that. It doesn't have a CUP or a subdivision. So I'm asking you to vacate this, okay? And you're concerned, you're saying, well, if it's only the subdivision, what's the point? Why are we here? And I'm saying, I want you to follow the law. I want you to follow your ordinance. You should want to follow your ordinance. You're setting a precedent here. If you're going to say, no, we'll let the planning and zoning director just decide, I'm going to open a 30-acre gravel pit over here, I'm going to have some road building over here, that's not their job. It's simply not their job. And that's exceeding their authority. And I'm asking you to hold your planning director accountable to follow your ordinance. And that's all.
Mr. Chair, what is, oh, sorry.
Nope.
What are the limits for issuing a land all permit? Do you know that? Does anybody know that? I mean, we can issue land all permits if I want to move 20 yards of gravel, correct?
If you, but if you're...
Without a subdivision or a plat, right?
Yeah,
there's
I'm not going to
comment
on that.
There's got to be some exclusion here.
Yeah.
What is it?
Yeah, I am not sure what the...
Well, that's something we should, yeah. Should know.
I think, you know, what we've always done, if somebody wanted to basically go out and build a road on their own property, as long as it isn't in the shore impact zone, go for it. I don't think we've ever really had any restrictions.
You need a land all permit.
You do, but that's what was issued, but I don't think there's any restriction.
There's no limits?
I don't believe that there is. As long as it isn't...
Why would the law say, or why would the ordinance say that you have to have a subdivision or a plat approved before you can issue a land all permit? That's what she's arguing here.
Right.
I want to
Yeah, and I don't know that there's, you know, a few things in there that are both conflicting, because to me it looks like you can also, they can do it, and this is what we've always used in the past, Larry, is, you know, if they are going to move basically dirt on their own property, as long as it's not within the shore impact zone, and it's not for sale, we're not making it a gravel pit, I don't think we've had any restriction on it.
Well,
you know, if you want to
have
a,
that restriction, but what does the law say? That's the
right.
Point. That's which, the point you're trying to make here. And that's what I want to know, too.
But as long as he got the permit, I don't think that is an issue. The whole issue here was the gravel pit. That was the, you know, what came out initially. That was the big heartburn. And I understood that. Because, you know, it talks, like she's saying, you know, Section 14, land alteration permit, you know, it's all talking about basically if it's on a steep slope or within shore impact zone or bluff zone is where the bulk of the issues are. You know, it's basically an agricultural land right now. You know, land alteration permit is not required for land alteration that is part of an agricultural use, provided that the land alteration follows the best management practices for farming, recommended by the University of Minnesota Extension Service, Becker County Soil and Water, which I know they've been out there.
This wouldn't be an agricultural use.
Was it plat
correct?
Land use.
But
I mean, if you're doing it
right now, it's ag land is how it is classified.
Right, but if the use that you're intending is an ag use, if somebody's building a road on their ag land to get to their shop, okay, that's an agricultural use. Mining gravel on 20 acres is not.
But that's separate from this. You started out by saying you're separating that. That's a separate issue here today.
But you're saying that if it's ag zoned land, we don't need to have a
we're just talking about how did we get here, you know, and you're trying to tie that 20 acres of that gravel pit still to this, and yet you said that is, at the very start of your deal tonight, you said that's a separate issue. We have that in district court, correct?
But you know what, I'm not the one that tied them together, your planning director did. Your planning director is the one that said, you know what, and watch the video if you'd like. The planning director said, this gives them the authority to mine gravel.
But isn't that for the appeal process for the CUP? I mean, what's before us here is...
It's an argument for both of them.
But what's before here, I mean, what you've stated here is that the land alteration permit is for roads. And that's what I see in the permit. And you're alleging that misstatements occurred during the CUP process.
Which is a separate from the land alteration.
It's really doesn't. I don't see how that really involves the Board of Adjustments in the appeal of what's stated in the land alteration permit.
Okay, so here's what I'll tell you on that. Okay, and this is where I said there's two issues going on here, right? Okay, if we're only looking at the subdivision and we're only looking at the roads, and if you're going to say that this, we're going to pretend that the planning director didn't say anything about this allowing gravel mining, okay, then if we're only looking at subdivision, why did this get issued on August 4th when there was no subdivision approval? If this is a land alteration permit for a subdivision, you can't issue it. He can't issue it until the subdivision has been approved. And it was not approved at this time. There's no question about it. It was approved, the preliminary plat approval happened, I think, August 10th. So that's why when you strictly apply your ordinance, and if you're saying this is just for a subdivision, then you have to go right back to Chapter 8, Section 3, which I've read to you many times, that this land alteration permit can only be issued subject or incidental to a subdivision, an approved subdivision, which it wasn't. And I know that you're saying, well, you know, whatever, this is so what, cart before the horse, what is it? You know what, it is important. It's very important to my clients, and I'm asking you to follow the law. And I am giving you Minnesota court precedent that says you have to strictly apply your ordinances. And if you don't, and if we add this to another court action, I already know the Minnesota Supreme Court has said you, as the Board of Adjustment, have to strictly apply your ordinance. And if it's a matter of timing that they should have waited 2 weeks, well, you know what, then they should have waited 2 weeks, but they didn't. And it became very important that they didn't wait 2 weeks because they intentionally did it way too soon so that they could have an impact on that gravel conditional use permit hearing the next day. And I'm not going to sit by and allow somebody to play fast and loose with the ordinances in front of the county board at the detriment of my clients who are adjacent to this, some of them 100 and 200 feet from a gravel mining operation. And that's why we're here. And if you say, oh, so what? You know, it'll get approved anyway if we're just looking at the subdivision. It's still incredibly important to my clients. And you have to follow the law. That's just that's why if the ordinance wasn't there, we wouldn't be here. If the ordinance said, oh yeah, you can pre-approve it and start bulldozing some roads before a subdivision's approved, if that's the way your law reads and if that's what you wanna allow in your county, then write your ordinance that way. That says, if the planning and zoning director thinks that it's a good idea, he can issue an approval to go ahead, just follow these plans of Apex, build your own road. We'll throw the plat out there in a few months, 6 months, a year, eventually. And then it'll be too late for them to change anything if they don't like it. That's not the case. That's not the law.
So when did it come before the Planning Commission and get approved?
The Planning Commission?
Correct.
You mean the gravel mine?
Correct.
Okay, the gravel, I don't have the date, but I think it was July, the Planning Commission recommended approval on certain terms. I wasn't there. I hadn't been hired yet.
Okay.
This was a number of people. We had 400 signatures on an environmental assessment worksheet that we submitted in June. There was a hearing, I think, on July 15th, and that was before the planning and zoning. I think planning and zoning was after July 15th. But the point being, 400 signatures of Minnesota residents, the property owners right there, that said, please do an environmental assessment worksheet because we are concerned about the effect on the neighbors, the noise, the traffic flow, a variety of things, vibration, sedimentation, silica dust. There was a number of things that they thought needed to be looked at. And Minnesota believes that gravel pit operations are inherently a problem. And that's why they say you have to have a mandatory EAW at 40 acres. So it's not something, you can't just brush my clients' concerns aside like they're a bunch of NIMBYs because, oh yeah, no big deal, it's just a gravel operation. Minnesota recognizes there's a problem with them, so they make you do an environmental assessment worksheet. Some townships, in fact, say any conditional use permit for a gravel mining operation, regardless of the size, has to have an environmental assessment worksheet. And I pointed that out in our arguments in July as well. And that ended up waffling back and forth being a 3-2 vote. So the county board said, no, we're not going to require an environmental assessment worksheet. I will note, again, we have the one commissioner who had a conflict of interest and didn't disclose it at that point.
You were asking when it came to...
Just, Greg, you've been waiting to...
Well, yeah, I was going to say the same thing. Craig, I think Exhibit B, point number two, says May 28th, the Planning Commission addressed the CUP.
Because I was on it, so I know that. I mean, that's why, to me, it's like, we've waited, you know, what I'm going with this is, and I know exactly, because I tried to help put some of those restrictions on, because I sided with your client on, okay, let's limit some of the hours, let's make some common sense restrictions, of which the developer agreed to, and Tori Sonnenberg, who is the one who's going to run, was going to, I believe, run the gravel pit. So I thought a lot of this stuff was already addressed. And again, everyone in the hearing at the time had said, the issue is with the sale of it and the hauling of it and all the noise that was going to go with that. If it was going to be used on the property, there was no issue. So I'm a little bit taken back to why all of a sudden you're saying nobody had ever heard anything about this. The planning director was doing this all on his own. That's not the case. It was already, we knew what the plan was. We knew the 70 acres. We knew the 20 acres. Everything has already been discussed, and this group maybe hasn't quote unquote heard it, but the county board definitely knew what was going on. Everybody in the planning commission knew what was going on. I mean, it's been in the media. It's been highly talked about, is what I'm saying.
Sure.
So.
Yep, and I wasn't there in May. I got involved at the environmental review stage. And it's all fine that you can talk about projects and that there was a recommendation for approval, and we're not fighting that, right? That happened. I don't think the county board should have approved it. And I think that they were approving it under a misunderstanding of law and on a faulty premise of what was issued the day before to unduly influence them. That's what I'm fighting about. That's why I'm here arguing that.
Greg?
Thank you for your comments. I appreciate it. I have a couple of questions, maybe for clarification for myself, for you, or maybe us here as well. One of them I wanted to ask about was the LAP references a parcel number, 170368043. Is that parcel number 90 acres or is it 70 acres? How is this, what is the parcel number on the LAP indicating as to which parcel or what area of land?
You know, I think it references the parcel number because there's only one parcel, right?
Well, that's my question, because I know it, I know we're talking about it being split into 70 and 20.
Yeah, but that's where it says subject to the drawings from Apex. So on the land alteration permit, under project summary, it talks about what areas are going to be cut and excavated, what areas are going to be filled, and it says see construction drawings from Apex. And that's why I immediately had you look at this, because this has Apex, this was attached, and this shows that it's only relating to that 70 acres. So the parcel number, it is one parcel number, 90 acres is one parcel, but okay. They're identifying that this permit is only for 70 acres.
Was that included with the, okay, so you're saying that particular drawing was part of the application?
Yep, that's what I included as
indicating
exhibit
that parcel
A
number.
The land alteration permit, and it included all of these exhibits.
Okay.
So that's all part of the permit.
So can it be stated then that the, I guess the decision by Kyle was relating to 70 acres and not 90 acres?
It should be legally interpreted that it only applied to 70 acres, yes.
Okay.
And so he shouldn't have the next day said that it applied to 20.
I understand that, but I'm going by the documentation, you know,
right.
the verbal comments aren't reflected in the application permit and the approval of the permit, quite honestly.
And even if it were, I mean, it was related to the, well, yeah, it's circular, that's the problem.
No, I understand that. But in the approval of the application, the LAP, that was pre-comments or pre other issues, but it seems to me that was approval of the 70-acre part of the parcel,
yep.
And not the entire part that involves
right.
it. So there's no mining involved in the 70-acre part.
Right. there shouldn't be, right?
Correct.
And it should only be related to the 70 acres. But that's where this still needs to be invalidated, because to the extent that it's related to the 70 acres, there was no subdivision approved then. Like, he issued that permit before there was any subdivision approval, and he can't do that.
When was the LAP applied for? Do we know the date of that?
I don't know.
Look at here, Greg. Here is a copy of the preliminary plat that came before the Planning Commission, and notice the date on it. So it was platted. We did have the preliminary plat by June.
And this is the 70-acre
correct
section.
Yeah. This is what the issue is. So all of this stuff, we knew what the plan was, and this was way predated to the August 4th
right, but
date.
With all due respect, you didn't issue plat approval. The Planning Commission doesn't issue plat approval. The township has to issue plat approval in this situation. This township did not cede its planning and zoning authority and subdivision approval process to Becker County. This township retained it, which is why they had to have a township hearing on August 10th. And this township is the one that gets to decide whether they approve or disapprove. So the fact that the County Planning Commission recommended approval of a preliminary plat doesn't mean the same as preliminary plat approval.
So what did the township vote?
They ended up approving it. They're recommending approval, and then it had to go to the county after that. So on the 10th. And this is where I'm telling you, I'm not disagreeing with you on that. I'm saying timing is important. And timing, when it comes to strict application of the law, timing is important. That's what I'm saying. Come back, do it over. Do it over tomorrow, and I'm not going to argue with you on the 70 acres. If it's just limited to the 70 acres, I want to argue it. But it wasn't appropriate on August 4th, and that's what I'm here to argue about.
That was my next question. Essentially, what you're saying is, if we do vacate it, it's going to happen anyway.
It will happen with regard to 70 acres. Yes. I'm not objecting to that. Yeah, I don't have a legal objection to that.
So where does that leave any decision we make?
Your decision is, are you going to require your planning and zoning director to strictly apply the law or not? Or are you going to let him deceive the county board? Are you going to let him play fast and loose with the rules to try to get an outcome that maybe his dad is going to have a financial interest in the outcome for? Okay, that's what I'm asking you to take a stand on. And I'm asking you to strictly apply the law, because this isn't appropriate. Absolutely is not appropriate, period. And that's what I'm asking. So if you're like having a hard decision, like, why do we even have to do this? To the contrary, you should think, yeah, let's make them do it right. Okay, is that so hard to say, make somebody comply with the law and do it right? Do it in the right order. Don't do it out of order so that you can unduly impact something. That's what I'm saying. It's not gonna change the outcome with respect to the subdivision. It might change the outcome with respect to a gravel mine operation within 100 feet of somebody's house.
Okay, that I understand where you're coming from.
Yeah, it's very important to my clients for their CUP challenge. That's why I'm here. I'm not fighting against the subdivision. If they do it right, do it in the right order, no problem. I'm not arguing that the County Planning Commission was wrong in saying I'm going to recommend approval of the plat. I'm not arguing about that. Just make them do it right. Doesn't hurt them. They still get to develop. They get to sell a whole bunch of lots. They can develop that. I'm not arguing against that. More power to them. Just saying, if there's an area that's not appropriate for development by going in and excavating and sandblasting and crushing operations right next to somebody's house, it's not the appropriate place. I mean, that's where I read in the ordinance. It's like, is this, you know, is it going to unduly impact the adjacent property owners? The answer is yes. Yes, in this case, it is. It is going to.
Larry, did you have any further questions?
Well, you know, I don't know, we could stand here and talk all night about this thing, but I mean, as far as I'm concerned, what I'm seeing and hearing, this permit, land off permit, specifically says it's for rural construction subdivision for building lots. It has nothing to do with ag. I would argue that. And if in fact the ordinance says that they have to have a land alteration permit.
Are we gonna let everybody speak here? Before you deliberate?
Yeah, we're not delivering it at this point.
No, just my comment. Then in fact, it's incorrect. Until I'm told differently from counsel, and that's what I want to know. I want to hear that.
So I think your request to counsel would be, if this land alteration permit is for road building in a subdivision, does the subdivision have to be approved before the land alteration permit?
That's the question.
That's it. That's your one question right there. That's my one thing that I'm like opening with, is that, you know what, it has to be issued pursuant to a subdivision, approved subdivision, and you didn't have that. And that's where Chapter 8, Section 3, I have a copy of it right here. I included the language in my materials, but you know, look at your ordinance, Chapter 8, Section 3, subdivision C.
Any other questions of Tammy Norgard?
I do have a question. Yeah, Kyle, are you in this meeting tonight? Or are you?
Yeah, I'd like to speak.
Okay. Then stay, keep in order, please.
Well, no, I...
I guess before that, is there anybody, any of the other appellants would like to provide any testimony other than your attorney? Okay. Otherwise, Kyle, if you'd come forward then.
Yeah, I'd like to hear from Kyle.
Okay.
So I just want to say I don't want to speak specifically about the conditional use permit application because it's, to me, it's not relevant. I don't want to go through hashing all that out, except was there comments made about crushing gravel on your own property and using it for your personal use? Yes. And I still believe that is possible to do if it's not for sale. For instance, if you have 40 acres and you wanted to crush 50 yards of material and put it on your driveway, I do not think that's illegal, and I don't think there's anything applicable in this ordinance that says you can't do that. Nor do I believe that if you would like to build a single road on your deer hunting property or your lake lot with no structure, I believe that would be applicable. When I read Chapter 8, Section 3, and I look at land alteration standards, it specifically says pursuant to a permit or subdivision approval. Those standards, you have to have some, it's following something then. So if you do not have that permit or that subdivision, it's not relevant. The intent of this ordinance is certainly not to only allow the removal or movement of material when a home is being built or a septic system or a subdivision. It's specifically saying land alterations pursuant to a permit. So what that's saying is if you apply for a building permit or you apply for a sand blanket or you apply for riprap or you apply for a septic system, these shall apply. That's what it's saying. So if somebody wants to come in, and again, let's say they'd like to excavate their land prior to the site permit issuance, that would be a permissible use under this. It's a permitted use. A single family residence is a permitted use. You go back to permitted uses. If the land alteration is incidental to the permitted use, basically what it's saying is we don't require that separate permit. The site permit would cover that work being done. Now, if in this case there was no subdivision approval, they came to me, said, can we build a road on our property? Yes, you can. I still feel that way. I would direct you, take your 15 days, consult with the retained legal counsel we have. That's what I would suggest.
That's what I would do.
Okay.
Because again, incidental pursuant to something. We don't have anything on August 5th for it to be pursuant to something, right? Or August 4th, that's been pointed out a million times. So it wasn't pursuant to something. It was granted for them to build a road. I'm not saying that anybody normally would probably get a subdivision approval first before you go build a road, but if they got denied, they'd have a road on their property. And I still don't believe that would be illegal.
And nobody crushed 50 yards of gravel on their own property either.
But you could.
You could.
And that was all I've said. If you wanted to make your own gravel, I think you could. But again, I would advise you to take that 15 days. County does have retained legal counsel.
All right. Thank you, Kyle. Administrative staff, do we have any written correspondences related to this appeal?
Nothing.
Nothing. Okay. So at this point, go ahead, Tammy.
Can I just follow up with one comment?
Yep.
And that is on the land alteration permit, under project summary, it says the project description, road construction for new subdivision. So this isn't just, I'm going to build a road into my lot, and I guess if something doesn't get approved, I guess I have a road to my lot. This is being asked for a new subdivision with 19 pages of attachments that show exactly what the subdivision is. And that's what I'm saying. That this is a different story than, hey, you want to put a road to your deer stand or to a house that you might build someday.
But the argument was made that you can't move material without something being incidental to a permit, and that's not, in my opinion, correct.
So. Okay. Okay, at this point, we will close testimony, and the board is going to deliberate. I guess my recommendation as chair would be to seek legal counsel from our attorney and to prepare a recommendation and a draft findings of fact supporting that recommendation and present that to the board for consideration.
Ready for a motion?
Yes.
Anybody else need discussion?
I guess I'm kind of along the lines of what Mike is saying.
And then we would take it up for consideration at our November 20th meeting, which would still be within that 15-day window of when we have to make a decision.
I'll make the motion. So exactly what Mike said.
Okay. Motion by Larry. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Okay. Second by Dell. Any further discussion? Go ahead.
Yeah, I think that's correct. We have an attorney present, and I think we have one perspective on it. I think it would be very, very prudent of us to get another legal perspective. Not, I don't want to say it's another side, but to get the full perspective from a legal aspect, I think makes a lot of sense. I would hate to vote on anything else without having a little more information.
I'm with you 100%. Okay, with that, if there's no other further, if there's no other discussion, I will call the question. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? That motion is carried. Anything else to come before the board? Otherwise, I'll take a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Okay, motion by Craig. Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Second by Dale. All right. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. We are adjourned.
Can I just ask who you were talking to?